You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome in to a Monday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. Adam is traveling today, so it is just me recording on this Sunday. We will both do our weekly episode with some game previews tomorrow, but I'm going to preview the Magic game later, as well as preview the Celtics game now. We've officially gone through a week with our partnership with Indiana Sports Coverage, and we've kind of got that up and running. You can see a lot of posts there if you want previews for the podcast before you actually listen to them. So make sure you check out their site for some really good Pacers content, as well as more in-depth posts about our podcast. And for news about the podcast, so I don't have to do this anymore, officially this week we will have LockedOnPacers.com up and running. It is officially technically up and running. We just haven't actually done the launch yet, so be on the lookout for that. But time to transition to actual basketball, and let's start with a Celtics preview. So the game Saturday night against the Boston Celtics resulted in a 108-98 win for the Boston Celtics. However, the Pacers won three out of the four quarters. They won the first quarter 32-27, they won the second quarter 22-18, and they won the fourth quarter 28-26. But the Boston Celtics are second in the league behind the Warriors in net rating in the third quarter, and they won the third quarter 37-16. They absolutely blew the doors off of Nate McMillan and co. in that quarter and were able to pull away for the win. And that is really the story of the game, is coaching, because, you know, in a game like this where Oladipo didn't play, Glenn Robinson didn't play, Gordon Hayward didn't play, Marcus Morris didn't play, and Jaylen Brown didn't play, you know, it's very different for both teams, and they had to make the necessary adjustments. And early it looked like McMillan kind of had it figured out, but in the third, after halftime, when Brad Stevens really had time to sit down with his guys and explain the changes he wanted them to make, the Celtics were able to really pull this game out. Kyrie Irving was Kyrie Irving. I'll start with him because there were rumblings that, you know, maybe that the Pacers could have got him in that Paul George trade. Maybe that's just me and Adam's rumor, but he had a nice game. He had 25 points, 11 of 20 shooting, 1 for 4 from 3. He was plus 9. He had a sweet reverse layup in the third quarter, and he put Darren Collison on skates in the second quarter, not put him on the ground. It was absolutely nasty. Darren Collison, sorry that I had to roast you for that one on this podcast, but Kyrie Irving really got you with that move. It was really nasty. Another guy, though, who stepped in to start for Jaylen Brown, who ended up having probably his best scoring game of the season, was Marcus Smart. So that was something that I did not expect, but Marcus Smart having a good shooting game was kind of a product of being guarded by Bojan a lot of the game and kind of a product of luck. They kind of had put Lance on Jason Tatum, and then they put Bojan on Smart. They kind of would switch those like-size switches, but Smart was 7 of 8 for 15 points, and I don't think he's shot above 80% ever in his career in a game. So that was something that the Celtics were kind of looking to do, as he was shooting a lot at the rim. And, you know, they have him be a good cutter, and Bogdanović doesn't really have that cerebral defense all the time, so that really killed them. Daniel Theis started at center. With Morris out, they put Horford at the four and started Daniel Theis. He's a rookie. He was pretty much impactless, 5 points, 5 rebounds. But let's switch to the Pacers, because I just talked about three unique situations for the Celtics. The guy who got the start was Lance, and he had another nice game. Lance is really hitting a groove. He had 16 points right after he had his 18 season high against the Raptors. He had 16 in this game against the Celtics, 5 of 9 shooting, 8 rebounds, which led the team. I think that's his fifth time in 6 games, so that's pretty nice for him. And 5 assists, which was tied for most on the team with Collison. But he was a minus 12 because, you know, sometimes off the ball he does the wrong thing, but he had a pretty nice game sliding into the starting lineup for Oladipo. He played 36 minutes, which was team leading, and that wasn't really the problem. You know, the Pacers have shown that they have more depth than other teams think, so when a guy like Oladipo gets hurt, they have that guy to replace him. But someone has to replace Stevenson's minutes, and that is where the problems arose, because Damian Wilkins played 12 minutes in this game. And Damian Wilkins playing 12 minutes is never a good thing. 4 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, not very good. And Joe Young had to play a little bit because sometimes, you know, Lance plays in that weird hybrid lineup where he's the point guard. I'm putting air quotes, but you can't see it with Oladipo. And Joe Young was a minus two in 10 minutes, 4 points, two rebounds, three assists. He didn't play awful on offense, but his defense, like always, was not the best. So the big story for this one in the Pacers, according to the Twitter internet people, as well as myself, I will agree with them this time, is that Miles Turner just did not get enough shots up. And that's a product of both him just not shooting as much when he does have the catches, and they're not feeding him enough. I will say that it's unfair for me to say he's not shooting enough. He had zero assists. It's not like he was passing out of shots. He just wasn't getting the best opportunities for them. He only took nine shots. He made seven of them. His 19 points led the team in only nine shots. He led the team in scoring with nine shots, 2 for 3 from deep. He made all his free throws, and he was a plus five, and he was clearly the best defender. They were really struggling to get some stops in the third, and then when he came in to start the fourth, they finally started getting stops with him in there, and that's because he's just the best defender on the team. And his foul trouble, which were some questionable calls, the refs even admitted two of them were wrong, I believe, after the game, Nate McMillan said in his press conference. So that really hurt the team, you know, with him out like that. Really not a helpful situation when he either couldn't get going and couldn't play a lot of minutes due to foul trouble. So really worrisome for him, but hopefully him and Sabonis, who are both a little foul happy, they're the only two guys who foul hardly at all on this team. You know, if they can keep him down, this team really clicks. Sabonis, like the game against the Raptors, had another tough shooting night, 5 of 13, but he still had 17 points because he was able to get to the line, and his 7 rebounds were the most by a post player on the team. He's been very consistent all season, but he's starting to miss some shots these last two games, so maybe he was hot early, or maybe he's struggling now. Who really knows? But him and Turner both kind of had good chances because of they were playing against Daniel Tyson, Aaron Baines a lot of the game, two guys who aren't the best at defending in space. The Celtics were able to get a lot out of some funky guys, like Abdel Nader played 13 minutes, and Semi Ojeleye played 19 minutes, so it was a tough game to really analyze because I didn't scout some of these guys as much. I looked more at Morris and Brown. So, you know, seeing these guys get minutes, I didn't really know what to expect or what to be watching for. But something else that the Pacers did not do particularly well is shoot the three ball in this game. We had just talked about how well they were shooting from three in our last episode. Then they go 30%, so we probably jinxed it and we'll take the blame there. But 7 of 23... got to get it more attempts, and of course, got to be making more attempts. I think a lot of that, too, is Oladipo not playing. He sets up and shoots those shots, so with him back, whenever he comes back, that is, hopefully that can correct itself fairly easily. And then the rebounding, again, only 36 rebounds compared to the Celtics, 30, but still, the fact that there were only 66 rebounds total shows how many, you know, turnovers and dead possessions there were in this game. The Celtics had 14 turnovers and the Pacers had 19. That's a lot. So a lot of dead possessions means not a lot of rebounds. And, you know, not a lot of rebounds means the Pacers are going to have trouble because they're already bad on the glass. And the Celtics are in the top portions of the league in defensive rebounding this year. So pretty weird game without Oladipo. I don't think many people expected them to win, especially on a back-to-back. So the troubling part of this game was obviously Damian Wilkins was on the court. He was actually a plus seven, so maybe I'm being a little too critical. But, you know, weird game. The Celtics are probably a better team. I think they're 18-3 now. So that was going to be a tough one no matter what. And when Kyrie Irving, who is just absolutely killing it, been one of the best players in the whole league, and Al Horford was playing his amazing defense. He's been one of the best defensive players in the whole league. This was going to be a tough game for the Pacers to win no matter what. So the fact that they were in it for a lot of the game and were able to outscore the Celtics in 3 out of 4 quarters was very impressive. And Brad Stevens is just an elite head coach, and the Butler product showed that off. But 1 week later, after their last Monday game, you're hearing this on a Monday, the Pacers will play the Magic again. So let's transition into a Magic preview, even though they just played them 1 week ago. All right, so this Magic game is going to be weird because, like I just said, 1 week ago they played and beat this team 105-97, but in Orlando, this time they're back in Indiana, and the Magic, I think, have only played one game since that last one, which would be very very interesting since it was on a Monday to see it not spread out that much. But they are 8-9, I believe, right now. Man, I should have really pulled this up beforehand, but the Magic started off incredibly, incredibly hot. And since then, they have really cooled off, and you could see that in the first game when some of those guys really couldn't get scoring, and their bench completely fell apart and killed them. The second half is when the Pacers were able to pull away in that one. So that's kind of where the Magic are at now. The Magic currently sit at 8-12. Excuse me, that 8-9 was incorrect. That was after the Pacers game. They lost to the Pacers, and since then they have played quite a few games. They just finished a back-to-back in which they lost both to the Celtics and the Sixers. Since they started off so well, I think they're 8-4. They have now lost 8 in a row and are really struggling. They are down to 23rd in defense and 16th in offense, 6th in pace. So they're pushing, but they can't really stop anybody in transition themselves. And, you know, if they have an inefficient offense and they're pushing, that's really tough. And missing their stalwart defensive rookie Jonathan Isaac does not help at all either. This road trip has not been kind to them. After that loss to the Pacers, they had to travel to Minnesota where they lost by 6. They just keep getting worse. And they traveled to Boston. They lost by 15. And then Philly where they lost by 19 and gave up 130 to the young Sixers. So weird time for the Magic. They're kind of stumbling a little bit after their really, really hot start. And no one really saw that coming at all. I think a lot of articles suggested that maybe they were going to be a good team. I'm sorry, I keep trying to type and talk at the same time. Maybe they were going to be a good team with all this with this three-point shooting that they had found, but we saw against the Pacers in their first game that the Pacers won, that shooting kind of was fluky at the start of the year, and now finally they're falling to where they should be. So in that first game, the Magic shot, man, I'm so close to getting this and not having a seamless transition. The first game, the Magic shot 13-38, so 34% from three. That's kind of where they're probably going to be at the rest of the season. They were just really hot in the early portions. The Pacers shot 8 of 20 for 40%. But looking forward, how this game could be different, first of all, it's in Indiana. So the fact that the Pacers were already able to win in Orlando shows that they should be able to do well at home against the same team. And they really won this game in the starters. The bench was actually there were actually a couple of positive players on the Magic bench and very few on the Indiana bench in that first game. Corey Joseph was a big negative, so it's going to be another game with the starters. So if Oladipo doesn't play, maybe the Magic have a chance in this one, but I'm still skeptical. I think the Pacers are going to pull it out. I'll get to my score prediction later, but slowing down Nikola Vucevic is something that I think they need to focus on. He had 25 points in the first game. He shot really well, 11 of 19 from the field. And because, you know, Turner and Sabonis, for how good they are at defending the paint in the restricted area, when they have to defend in space, they're not as good. And Vucevic has been really good drawing guys away from the basket this season and knocking down jump shots. So I think the Magic will implore a lot of pick and pop and be on the lookout for that and be on the lookout for the Pacers having some struggles defending that. But I think they'll do okay. And then another guy who had a pretty good game in the first game was Evan Fournier. He had 16 points on pretty efficient shooting, especially from three. He made half of them. So they might try to feed him a few more. And Maurice Spates, if you guys remember, had 8 points. And I remember people tweeting about how, of course, he's going to be the guy to kill the team. But all in all, I think it's just going to be grinding it out against the starters. You know, Terrence Ross had Alfred Payton, excuse me, had a rougher game in that first game. So they can hold him to 14% shooting again. I'm sure they'll be happy. The Pacers themselves in that first game, tough game for Turner. He was only 4 of 11 after his hot game against the Heat. And Collison was only 2 of 11. So you got to think both of them will do a little bit better in this one, and that should help quite a bit. And Joseph was only 2 of 7, so some guys you can expect to have a better shooting game, and that should really help the Pacers propel. I don't think this game's going to be that much different than last week's. I think the same people are going to miss. Jonathan Isaac's not going to play, and I think Vic will be back, but I don't actually know. I don't have any inside information for you on if Oladipo is going to play in this one. If not, you know, you can expect the same Damian Wilkins, Joe Youngs, and TJ Leaf didn't play the first game against them. Maybe he will this time just because he can be a lot faster than backup for Maurice Spates for the Magic. So we'll see. I don't really have any crazy adjustments the Pacers might make. Without Oladipo, it'll be, of course, as always, it'll be tough without your best scorer. But we'll have to see how this one goes. I think that they'll have no trouble since they're the home team winning this one. And I'm going to predict right now that the Pacers win the game 109-94. I think they actually win pretty big because, you know, the Magic are really struggling. They can't really figure anything out. Vogel's going to come back and maybe try, but to keep the Magic in this game the whole time. But I just really think the Pacers are going to try to bounce back from that loss after their 5-game win streak. They were looking really good before it. They looked pretty good against the Celtics. It just didn't work out for them. So, you know, if they keep that rotation short like they did the first time against Orlando and they can knock down their shots a little bit better than last time. Honestly, they didn't even shoot that well in that first game, only 41%. I really think they could have a nice game. So I'm predicting a bigger win, and I think it'll be fun, and you guys should go to Bankers Life Fieldhouse for that one. It'll be a good Monday night game. As always, you can follow the podcast at Locked On Pacers, and you can follow me at TEastNBA. Adam will be on with me probably tomorrow, so you can follow him at FriedmanAdam5. I'm sure he would love your follows. He tweets some great Pacers stuff. You can follow Indiana Sports Coverage at Indy Sports Coverage. You can email us with complaints at lopacers@gmail.com. We hope you all enjoyed this episode. We hope you all are excited for a fun week of Pacers basketball. They got some exciting Western Conference games coming up this week, and we will have previews for all of them, so be on the lookout for those. And everybody have a great week.